Well, welcome everybody to the inaugural podcast. Inaugural, that's the right word for it, right? Inaugural?
This is the first.
The first. We'll just say the first equipped agronomy podcast.
That's a sharp handle.
Featured by Borgo Industries. I will be host, Curtis DeGoyer, and I have alongside me Jeff Strukoff, and we will be leading this podcast on its journey. So we're looking forward to it. I think there's some real cool potential that's going to happen with this thing. So we're hoping everybody enjoys it and gets something from it. And that's going to be our goal for this podcast. Now you know. So I think the first thing that we want to do is, as an introduction podcast, is kind of go through what we're going to be, chatting about here. Introduce ourselves, introduce the farm, and what's kind of going on here, and why we're doing what we're doing, and then hopefully what we can bring to our listeners when it comes to tuning in on this. So I thought we'd start off by a little introduction. My name's Curtis DeGoyer. I'm almost 10 years now at Borgo Industries. Work as the corporate agronomist here. Was hired on as that, and it's kind of evolved into a couple little different things, but that's my official title. I grew up in Kelleher, Saskatchewan, small farm there, about 1,000 acres, cattle farm. Dad's still farming there. So I do have a little bit of the cattle background, which is why I don't have cows or don't want anything to do with cows anymore. Got this opportunity here to come up and, with the promise of doing my own research and traveling around a little bit. So that's what's happened. Got my degree, University of Saskatchewan, agronomy, and a minor in ag biz. And I think I've been putting that to use. Live on an acreage with my wife and two kids, just north of St. Brew, west of Melfort. So not too far away. And I think that's where I'm going to leave that. And I'd like to introduce to you Mr. Jeff Strukoff, if you wouldn't mind giving a little background on yourself.
This is interesting because I didn't even know you were recording. We just kind of jumped right into it and we're just going to go. So, yeah, I'm Jeff, actually. I, too, have been working at Borgo for a little while now. I believe this is my sixth season that I've actually been with Borgo on the farm. I'm the Borgo farm manager and I act as a agronomist as well, providing extension work in the wintertime to our dealer network and farming in the summertime, which is kind of cool. I live on a farm 5 miles from town. My wife and my two kids and several dogs and cats and horses. I enjoy the community that we live in, and I'm very thankful for the fact that I don't have to travel too far to go to work every day.
What did you do in your previous life?
I actually kind of came from the ag retail side of things. I owned a independent fertilizer dealership, fertilizer chemical and custom app business for 18 years. And I decided to get out of that. And it just happened to coincide with an opportunity where I didn't have to leave the town that I lived in. And I started working at Borgo Industries shortly thereafter.
With a quick stint with a couple other.
Oh, I covered off a mat leave and did a few other things in between, but.
Chem company rep, Zamboni driver.
Zamboni driver.
Still a Zamboni driver.
I haven't been able to get rid of that job, actually. Yeah. But no, it's, you know what? In all honesty, I'm not sure I really do want to get rid of that. I keep talking like I want to get rid of it, but it's kind of a cool handle. There's not too many people that say they drive a Zamboni on a daily basis. So, yeah.
It is your second job, that's for sure. So,
yeah. Well, you got to keep the rink going.
Isn't that the truth?
Yep.
Yeah. So I think, I guess talking about other jobs, I also did a couple years with Cargill, went through the Cargill University as right out of university itself and did 2 years there. So worked a little bit more on farm and crop scouting. So yeah, I think that pretty much brings us everybody up to where we are.
Yep.
Hey. Eh? So what are we doing? Did you know that Borgo Industries has an agronomy program? Did you know that before?
I didn't know that.
No.
Truthfully, I had no idea. I knew that there was a few guys that were doing some tests and some studies and stuff like that, but it wasn't like to the magnitude that it's going on like today.
we blossomed it into something quite
It's magic.
Hopefully good. Hopefully absolutely provides magic value to company and everybody. So
you know what? At the end of the day, there's a lot of good information that's generated from the agronomy program, and it helps our customers as well as other people that possibly don't have our equipment, but it gives everyone a little bit of knowledge how to better utilize the equipment that they have. So be it. And that's kind of the cool thing that we do. We find out lots of stuff, which is kind of what I like the most.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think you're not alone in not knowing that, Forgo had a farm, or agronomy program. We've given a lot of talks before. I like to, in-person talks, ask the question, hey, did anybody know that we've got an agronomy program? We might see a few hands. We're starting to see more hands coming up, but I would say majority, potentially on, even the listeners here would have no idea what we're doing. So let's go through a little bit of the background as far as, what do we got going on in St. Bruce, Saskatchewan? Like you said, there were some guys doing some tests before. Agronomy has always been a big part of what Jerry Borgo and Frank too have been doing. The initial, Frank was the dad and Jerry's still here, the president, and, always a soft spot for agronomy. And really that's where the equipment, a lot of the features that have come forward was based around agronomy. Some of the more formal testing, I know in 2006, the agronomy program started up. Hired an agronomist at that time. And then, like you said, in 2014, I came in, and went from more smaller plots into a little bit larger equipment, 30 foots. And we're going to talk a little bit about that, what we got on deck. And then, you in 2018, joined in to really promote it forward here. So, we farm about 2,200 acres roughly?
Yep.
2,200 acres in, gray wooded soil here. It's not Melfort. If everyone knows this area at all, there's some pretty good soil up in Melfort. We're in St. Brew. We're in, gray wooded soils. And the reason that Borgo is what it is today, built the way it is because those nice little moisture holding, micro giving things in the ground they call rocks.
Yeah, we live in a moraine trail. A million years ago when the glaciers receded, they dropped every stone that they had contained inside their bodies and dropped them right on top of St. Bruce. So, that's why things that we build are as tough as they are.
Exactly. Yeah, Frank was a dealer. He had a dealership for Massey Ferguson and just kept blowing apart equipment and decided, eventually enough's enough. I'm going to build my own trip. That was the first kind of trip mechanism there with the spring and, allowed at least openers to go through the ground and kick up and then re-enter the ground again without destroying everything. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the soil that we're in. Mm-hmm. Anyway, here. What do we got on the go? We've got, it's a commercial farm, right?
Yep.
We can start off, that's the base. We got, 130,000 bushels of storage, a dryer. We got a full lineup of equipment. Do we run, and this might come to a shock to some, do we run brand new equipment?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
No. But we do have a brand new drill.
We do have a drill.
Every 2 or 3 years.
You're right.
So that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gets pulled by our 10-year-old tractors, which is still okay. Good equipment. But I know I get that razzing. Oh, the Borgo farm. You guys can just get whatever you want. And it's like, well.
Yeah. No. We're on, from a profitability standpoint, we're no different than everybody else. We're under the microscope and we're expected to make money on the farm. The farm has to sustain itself. It's got to pay its own bills. It's a separate entity from the rest of the business. So, we're legit farming and we've got a P&L and it's separate from the rest of the company. So, but we try and obviously grow the best crops that we possibly can.
So do you like growing big crops?
We
can grow some big, we've grown some big crops here.
Oh, like we've.
Like what are we growing here? We got wheat, canola. Obviously.
Wheat and canola are primary two.
Those are the two that we're growing up here.
But that's kind of the neighborhood that we're living in. But we grow oats and barley, and then we do all sorts of other test crops with different test drills, whether we're growing soybeans, sunflower seeds, corn.
Not really for grain, more for emergence.
For testing and stuff like that. But I'm a big fan of hybrid fall rye. It gives it an opportunity to, get some seeding done early, get ahead on the next year, and we get our equipment out for harvest out of the shed a little bit earlier and get all the kinks worked out before we really have to give her. So it's, I don't know, that's another crop that I really like, enjoy growing.
We're definitely going to touch on that one in this podcast, I think.
Yeah.
That's, it's a cool crop, you're right. And then it also provides, you know, in our case, a little bit more testing opportunity. It's not just we got one spring every year, right? We've got a spring mm-hmm. and then a fall for, you know, the engineers here on what we're going to be doing. So
yeah, actually, that's one thing that we should talk about is all the challenges trying to run a farm and work around engineers at the same time. It's the most incredible place to work I've found. And some of the things that we've actually had to do just to, you know, accommodate, you know, testing of all sorts of different things. It's not like you can just get at her and give her in the spring. It's kind of get at her and stop and get at her and stop over and over and over again. But
we've got this, what, 2,200 acre farm, but it feels like it's like a 6,000 acre farm based on all the different things we got to do. So actually, that's a good point. You bring up, what are the main purposes of the farm? Okay, so we're growing a crop. Okay, so we've got to grow a crop. Why are we even doing that, right? You know, previously, I would say, you know, cultivating and working, just dragging drills through the ground, we'd beat up the ground. Like, it was pretty much summer, fall. Like, there was washouts when we first kind of got here, right? And it's like, well, what's going on here? Well, there's no soil structure.
Yeah.
Because we had just, you know, the testing that goes on here, and which is good on the equipment side. You got to test, but, you know, we got to grow a crop in order to be able to do a test in a real life situation. So we're growing crops in order to get stubble and real life.
Sometimes we're legit trying to grow a crop on ground that was actually cultivated well into January while they were testing drills, dragging openers through frozen dirt. And you've got ruts and all sorts of stuff to contend with first thing in the spring. You got to fix a bunch of stuff that happened over the course of the winter just so that you could actually seed the crop. It's, yeah, it's an interesting gig.
Exactly.
But, and then the other thing, so you've got, so you're doing all this testing on different things, and you've got ground that's been, you know, somebody's beat the piss out of it all winter, and then you try and go out there and seed a crop into it. But then on the other side, two-thirds of the farm actually is organic land that Jerry actually purchased from his brother. So like as far as getting results from fertility placement, you couldn't ask for a better spot to actually do it because you're basically, the nutrient levels in the ground were as close to zero as you could possibly get. So every time you do something different, you're going to get a different response because you're starting from zero nutrient levels in the ground. So I don't know. I think a lot of the stuff that we do is really relevant because of where we're starting from.
Yeah, and we'll get into that right now. So we got, you know, we're growing crops. And the other thing we have mentioned, we're doing testing, you know, for engineers to come out and do testing on the equipment. We provide the, what you call the base, I would say, you know, for them to come out, hey, we're going to seed this field. Will you come out and let's test that equipment that you just built and, you know, prototypes. We've got P1s, prototype ones on a few different items out here. Some stuff people will never see, you know, and for good reason, right? We can barely keep it going. It's like, well, this is not a marketable thing, you know, put it through its paces. So, you know, we're testing out the equipment. So that's part of the gig. And then to your third point here on what's going on the farm, we're doing these trials, right? And these trials, you know, the way we have them set up right now, we've got a leading 7550 cart or go cart with, you know, at the start, we had actually had three drills, 30 foot wide. So we started off with a disc drill. We don't have that disc drill anymore. And then we had, you know, even a competitor drill, a 30 foot competitor drill, which we don't have anymore. So now we've got a 30 foot dual knife on 12 inch spacing with banders. We can do triple shoot testing. And, you know, eventually we'll get into that a bit more. Then we've got a 10 inch space single knife with banders, that also has the air planter option on it, right? Mm-hmm. So we can do singulation and singulation versus volumetric metering with the same opener, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. You can isolate a lot of variables when you can keep everything on the same drill.
That's exactly it. We like to isolate those variables down to one thing that we're changing, but then the side by sides, right? We can do a lot of different things and farms will do a lot of different strips out in the field, but unless you have it side by side against something else, it's pretty tough to.
Well, not only is it side by side, it's also replicated, which, you know,
replicated three times.
When you're trying to achieve statistical significance, it's, you know, you're getting statistically significant results by doing that. So it's not like you said, like farmer trials where you're just doing two things side by side. You know, you're going out there and you're doing the same strip multiple times and comparing it and getting a lot of the noise out of the data before you actually analyze it and kind of put that information
Exactly.
Into some form of a report.
And that goes online. So everything's online.
And all the tests are done multiple years too. So your sample size is also increased.
Do I wish we could do this at multiple locations? Yes. Of course.
I say we should do it in Argentina and Australia and here, and we could just go tour around the world. Perpetual summer. I think it'd be fantastic.
I think we're going to have a lot of good ideas on this.
Yeah.
In this.
I think we should pitch that actually.
Yeah. We'll definitely pitch that.
Yeah.
So some of the things that we have tested, we talked about singulation of canola, versus volumetric. Is there a value in doing it? Right. So that's some of the stuff we tested. We played with nitrogen placement, the sideband versus mid-row band versus broadcasting. Those are trials we've played with. Phosphorus placement, seed row, sideband, mid-row, split phosphorus between seed row and sideband, split phosphorus between seed row and mid-row. We've played around with, things that aren't just on the fertility side. We played with manipulator, PGRs, right? Plant growth regulators. How can we...
Different FOS sources.
Different FOS sources. Stuff that's not just based on the equipment, but it's just agronomically... We're curious.
Yeah.
Right? Trying to figure out what's a producer, what's a farmer going through when he's got to make all these decisions. And then how is that incorporated in the equipment? Right? And that's really what this is going to be all about, is talking about that bridge between equipment and, being that this is Borgo seeding equipment. With agronomy, we're creating that bridge across there. And so a lot of these discussions and episodes that are going to come forward here are going to be really based on or sort of dive into more of that information. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these tests too, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of these are all coming from growers, farmers. These are guys that are, hey, what happens if we did this, right? And at different shows or different speaking events, hey, these are the questions coming in. These are the trials we'll do. So that's what we're going to talk about. Mm-hmm. In the upcoming episodes here.
Yeah. I could truly say, after being involved in the agronomy program, I wished I would have had access to the information that we've actually generated over the last, for you, you've been here a lot longer than I have, but it would have helped me as an agronomist to do my job better if I would have known that this information was actually available. Because it would have provided me, a little bit more intel as to how to better help my clients at the time. I don't know.
There's not a lot of people doing it right now. I mean, we had some good, there's talk about the Wesco fertilizer back in the day, right? There were some other agencies that were doing this fertilizer placement testing. And now there's really not a whole lot, I would say, especially tying it, like very much looking at the equipment side. So I think that's where our niches, if you will.
I don't want to date myself, but the last time I actually took fertility training was a place called Cominco College. There was a fertilizer company called Cominco, and that's from a long... There's same kind of vintages.
Okay.
Wesco and all those. There was actually some work done late 80s, early 90s, and then it just kind of ended. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know.
Still good information.
It is. But
there's some things hopefully we can...
It hasn't been continued on.
Yeah.
And... I don't know. I think this is good independent information.
Yeah, but we're pretty biased.
Well, we try not to be,
No, we're not biased. We're really not, because if we don't figure it out here, if we try to, put it one way or the other, that's not going to help us in the long run. Yeah. As an equipment company. So.
Well, and then the other thing too, just to reassure some people, like we actually do have third parties come and actually verify the information that we're actually doing that are independent.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, they come check out when we're seeding and come check out when we're harvesting and kind of verify all the numbers that we get. And it's a very unbiased approach to what we're doing.
Well, I think we've laid out hopefully kind of where we came from, where we're at, and hopefully what we're gonna do in the future, what we are gonna continue to do, but more so what we're gonna talk about in the upcoming episodes here. So I want to thank you very much for tuning in to this first one here, and we hope that you tune into the next one here, where we're going to keep chatting again on the agronomics of equipment and get you growing. So thanks, and we'll talk to you next time.
You betcha.